I don't even do podcasts this late at night, but I just came up from downstairs where CNN and Don Lemon have rolled out and dug up Dan Rather, who is sitting on the CNN desk for the 11 o'clock hour here Eastern time, talking to Don Lemon. I guess they needed some additional confirmation bias after the disastrous impeachment hearings today, which really seemed to be a big nothing, and we'll get to that in a second. But they roll out Dan Rather, and the first thing he says is, actually, I thought the Republicans were kind of quiet today. And he complimented them on their decorum, which is something that I just tweeted about. At which point, Don Lemon didn't know what to say, so he made a bunch of throat noises. He was, that's right, fuckface. He said the Republicans were kind of quiet today. He complimented them on your show. Eat it, Lemon. All this and more on the podcast. This is the QTR podcast. This podcast is brought to you by my patrons. Patrons are people that donate a monthly recurring sum to help support the podcast. They're the people that keep me in business. If you like what you hear, a monthly recurring donation would be very much appreciated, but the podcast is always going to be free, and I will never put advertisements in the middle of the podcast, with the exception of this advertisement, which I understand it is kind of ironic that it is kind of in the middle of the podcast, since I did a little cold open today. This podcast is brought to you by my friends over at The Trader's Path. Pete at The Trader's Path has started a brand new service for day traders. It's fantastic. It's got watch lists. It has daily live streams. You're going to basically get to see what they're looking at every single day when they hop on their computers and start to trade. They trade red markets, they trade green markets, they trade options, they trade equities, and he started the service because he got tired of the bullshit that comes with all the other trading services. My man Pete over at The Trader's Path, check him out in the podcast description. This podcast is also brought to you by my friends over at the Sang Lucci Steam Room. Sang Lucci and Charlie Bathgate, two of my brothers from another mother. What do? They follow big money in the options market to try and predict moves in the equities market. They've been doing it for years. They are experts at it. They are offering access to their Steam Room to QTR patrons. You can check that out through the link in the podcast. That's where they dump all of the big money coming into the options market. They also have a master course that they offer on market flow and market psychology, as well as the 3LT playbook, which is Lucci's three rules for basically how he made himself a seven-figure trader. I've seen his P&L in person. It exists. He parties in Puerto Rico, folks. Lucci's not fucking around. Check him out. This podcast is also brought to you by Rumorhound. Rumorhound is a brand new piece of AI software that helps you try to sort through the bullshit when you see mergers and acquisition rumors on a daily basis. So if you're a day trader, you know M&A rumors are all over the place. They're in chat rooms. They're on your Twitter feed. They're reported by the imbeciles in the mainstream media who don't know fucking their ass from their elbow. The point is, M&A rumors are everywhere. Rumorhound is going to help you sort through it. How? They are looking at a proprietary slate of variables involving the names involved, the way that the rumor was reported, and all kinds of crazy computerized shit that I don't know anything about. And it's going to spit out a nice recommendation to you as to whether or not it is something you should be paying attention to, this rumor, or maybe one you should leave behind. So check out my friends over at Rumorhound. This podcast is also brought to you by my friends at Focused Compounding. They focus only on niche ideas in the market, stuff that analysts and Wall Street ignore. Check them out at Focused Compounding. Their link is in the podcast description, and their Twitter handle is at Focused Compound. They put a lot of their ideas on Twitter for free. This podcast also brought to you by my friends at Hella Bacon that shoot machine guns from helicopters in Texas, Corvus Gold, my friend Monero, Investors Underground, my buddy Nathan Michaud, Chris Boas, Ken R., Chris Bede, Nicholas Parks, Matthew Zimmer, my homeboys Jay Mintzmyer and Russ Valenti coming through and supporting the podcast. And my friend Don P, who hit me up today on PayPal. What's up, my brother? Thank you, my kind friend, for the donation. Now, back to what we were talking about. Oh, and also, I do recommend a two-drink minimum. It's 11 o'clock at night. I imagine most of you guys are plastered to the face already. If you are, congratulations. You're a degenerate. And if you aren't, congratulations. Well, really have no clue what you're doing with your Wednesday night then. All right. I don't normally watch CNN. I was watching it today. I'll tell you why. Because I had Fox News on prior. Just got home from jiu-jitsu about an hour ago. My favorite thing to do, make a little grub. I went in the kitchen, made some nice chickpea pasta. Want to get some protein in, sit down on the couch, and let's see what the talking heads are saying about these ridiculous impeachment hearings today that we will talk about in a second. So, what do? I turn on the TV. I go to Fox News. Why? Yeah, I want a little confirmation bias. There's nothing wrong in admitting that. I turn on Fox News because I think the impeachment hearings are mostly bullshit. And I agree with most of the people on Fox News on most issues more than I'm going to on the other networks. But just wait for a second. Hear what I have to say. So I turn on Fox News and Dan Bongino is on. If you don't know Dan Bongino, he is a former Secret Service agent and he's about 150,000 metric tons of testosterone rolled into a ball. He's a guy I would not want to get into a fight with at a bar, I can tell you that. And Bongino is, of course, laying the smackdown about the impeachment hearings today, making some very cogent points and doing it, you know, just generally looking angry. And Bongino's face looks like it's carved out of granite. He's just not... get the feeling from this guy that I could just tee off on him as hard as I wanted to, and it would wind up hurting my hand, and he would just stand there, and then just be like, wow, I'm fucked at this point. Remember those fights you had with bullies when you were a kid? You go and you finally get your chance. You're like, oh, I'm really going to hit him. I'm just finally going to fucking stop this guy in his track. And you hit him once, and he doesn't move, and then you know that ass-whooping is coming after that. You're like, well, I was just going to get a normal ass whooping, but now that I made the mistake of trying to defend myself, I'm going to get it twice as bad. So regardless, Bongino's on and he's flipping out and life's good. All's right with the world. And I'm like, listen, I don't want to be biased. I do what I do normally, which is, yes, do I think that the media has a liberal bias? Yes, I do. All right. Politically, I really do consider myself a libertarian. I try to apply common sense to situations. I don't always side with Republicans. I don't always side with Democrats. I do because I look at the world through the lens of things being driven by economics. I am more inclined, and by capitalism, I am more inclined to side with Republicans, especially when it comes to those matters. When it comes to these special situations in politics, I can go either way. And again, I said before, and I'll say again, when it came to the Mueller report, if Mueller had come out and concluded that there was collusion between Trump and the Russians to sway the election, I would have respected the decision that Mueller came out with. And I honestly would have understood if impeachment proceedings started from that point, and it would have made sense to me. But what's going on now doesn't make any sense to me. What's going on now feels like sore losers at this point. And I really did try to be objective when it came down to the Russiagate thing because it was a fairly serious allegation and it wasn't something that I could look at the situation and say, well, this definitely didn't happen because, you know, it was curious that Trump wanted to cozy up to Russia or at least not even cozy up to them, but wasn't approaching foreign policy with Russia in the manner that most politicians on both sides of the aisle have done for decades. So it perked up some ears. And yes, there was limited Russian involvement in the election with buying the Facebook ads and shit like that. But Trump did not go out of his way to collude with the Russians to sway the outcome of the election. And that's that. Okay? And Robert Mueller arrived at that conclusion. Not fucking Devin Nunes. Not fucking Jim Jordan, not Mike Pence, Robert Mueller. Remember the Democrats are marching around with those signs? It's Mueller time. It's like, yeah, fuckheads. What about now? He said no collusion. And you can't even say no collusion to Democrats now. It's like they're in such denial about the Russiagate thing. It's like you lost. You kept bringing it up and bringing it up. It was brought up every day since the beginning of the election. And if you go back and you watch this mashup that I posted on Twitter a while back of mainstream media talking about it, it was every day, it was every mainstream media network, and every one of them was saying, it's a bombshell. Here's another bombshell. This is the beginning of the end of the Trump presidency. It's a bombshell. It's a bombshell. It's a bombshell. Bomb, 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 bombshell. It was nonstop. It's like, bitch, the only bombshell was when this guy turned around and served you up this shitburger by saying that there was no collusion. That was the fucking bombshell. The bombshell was when Trump won the election. That's a bombshell. All right? So look, I do think the media is a little biased. Now, let me get to where I'm going on this. I turned off Bongino and I went to CNN because, as I often do, and if sometimes if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see I'll post what the leads are from different news stations when a piece of news breaks. I find it curious that when a headline crosses the wire, I want to know how CNBC is spinning it, how MSNBC is spinning it, how Fox News is spinning it. And sometimes I'll tweet those things out. So I turned around and I put on CNN because there's nothing to balance out the human hard-on that is Dan Bongino more than the vastly effeminate Don Lemon with his look of deep concern that he always has on his face. So, but listen, I don't want to insult Don Lemon. I mean, actually, I do, but I actually do want to insult Don Lemon, but I don't really, for the purposes of this discussion, I don't want to insult Don Lemon because I wanted to objectively see what CNN was saying about the hearings today. I watched a couple hours worth of the hearings today. I've obviously drawn a conclusion. I'm sure many of you guys have. So I'm watching Lemon and I watched Dan Rather, who beautifully, I put the clip on my Twitter. It's up there from tonight if you want to see it, who says exactly what Don Lemon didn't want to hear, which I thought was wonderful. Wonderful way to start off my viewing experience. That was like the first 15 seconds of watching Don Lemon's show. I'm like, all right, great. The guy that they rolled in to agree with them is not agreeing with them right off the bat. And then Don Lemon, he can't help himself. He just can't fucking help himself, folks. He goes, well, today was full of bombshells. It's like, no, it wasn't. It was full of bombshells. Bombshells, again, he can't help, bombshell. Today was a bombshell. Tomorrow's going to be a bombshell. The day after that's going to be a bombshell. You remember Meet the Parents? He's like, you can't say bomb on a plane. He's like, bomb, 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 bomb. That's what I feel like the mainstream media is like all the time. Bomb, 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 bomb. Just fucking never stops. Like fucking parrots that just won't shut up. So, and then I turned Lemon off and I came up here because I had these notes on things that I wanted to talk about today. And I was like, eh, do I want to do a solo podcast? I don't have the energy. I don't have the time. But Numbnuts Lemon got me so fired up that I wanted to come up here and then just lay into a couple of things that I had problems with and a few notes here that I've taken over the last couple of days. The world is crumbling around us, folks. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, especially going into the holiday season. I don't want to fuck up your Black Friday plans of rushing through the front doors of a Walmart with other fat people to buy a television that's on sale for $299. But here I am, delivering the terrible news to you that once again, this is second year in a row, folks. Christmas is canceled this year, ladies and gentlemen. And we're taking Thanksgiving too. So keep swigging on that bottle of E&J brandy you got in front of you. That's as good as it's going to get. $9.99 for a fifth. Thank you very much, liquor store on Germantown and Shelton Avs. All right, anyways. I mean, what can you say about these hearings today? Honestly, you have Adam Schiff presiding, right? Presiding. They should give him a fucking top hat and a couple of those sparklers. You know those things you light up on the 4th of July? The things you light them. They're not fireworks. They're sparklers. You hold them in your hand and they just, you know, here's how they should dress Adam Schiff for these hearings. They should give him a fucking top hat and they should poke holes in it all the way around the brim of the hat. And they should stuff sparklers in each one of those holes so that he's got a whole thing of sparklers going around his hat. And they should give him a magic wand that he can wave around in the air in one of those long circus ringleader suits that hangs down like a fucking, like the back of a canary. I forget what they're called. The kind that my cousin Vinny, he wore in the movie when he came in and the judge was like, you mocking me, Mr. Gambini, with that outfit? He's like, am I mocking you? No, judge. That one. They should dress him in that, and right before the cameras start rolling, right before C-SPAN starts rolling footage, they should light all the sparklers, and Schiff should come out with the hat on, and there should be fucking swing music in the background. Da, 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 da. Welcome to the fucking show, you fucking maniacs. Because that's what it is. It's a circus. Well, with the sparklers going and Schiff doing the fucking da, 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 vaudeville kind of act with the cane. Because that's what it looked like to me. I mean, it's very difficult to take this guy seriously. I'm sorry. I don't, it's not a partisan thing. The guy's just a goofball. And he's up there today saying he has no idea who the whistleblower is. It's like, that's such bullshit. Does Adam Schiff really believe that anybody on both sides of the aisle believes him when he says that he doesn't know the identity of the whistleblower? I haven't heard a better line of fucking manure since Jerome Powell injected, what, I don't know, $1 trillion in liquidity in the repo markets over the last 2 months and didn't call it QE. That one's right up there with the all-time steaming, disgusting, odious whoppers I've heard over the last month or two. Adam Schiff, sir, a point of parliamentary procedure. I love those things too when they interject with the Roberts Rules of Order. Jim Jordan was saying something like, excuse me, when do we get a chance to interview the whistleblower? And Adam Schiff, excuse me, sir, point of parliamentary authority and procedure. The gentleman will stand down. The question will be considered. And we will break for lunch at 12:22. It's like, okay, but he makes a pretty good point. And by the way, sir, how dare you suggest I know who the whistleblower is? He only showed up in my office and talk to me personally. Why would I know who he is? Does anybody believe that bullshit? But anyways, Schiff is directing the proceedings today. I don't know what legal procedure needs to be followed to figure out who's going to chair these things. I don't know if it's because, like, Schiff, you know, it was his deal, or the whistleblower came to him, or he's the head of the committee. I don't really even fucking care. Point is, if you're a Democrat, you want somebody else up there. Anybody. Anybody except Joaquin Castro, by the way. You know who I give a lot of credit to today were the guys that were called as witnesses. They, you know, regardless of how they feel personally about the issue, I think they did a really good job of sticking to the facts. And both sides of the aisle tried to lead these guys with questions and get them to kind of admit to, you know, these like lawyer tactics, sir. If Donald Trump had a Whopper Jr. today, wouldn't you say that it's possible to eat a Whopper Jr. and then also introduce a quid pro quo to the Ukraine? And the witnesses are like, I don't know. Look, I'm here to present the evidence and to tell you what I know and what I heard, and that's it. And there were a bunch of questions like that. No more. I didn't see. The most of them I saw from one person was from this dude, Julian Castro. Or Joaquin Castro, rather, I think his name was, that came out and was just going off on these tangents and using his opportunity to quote-unquote question the witnesses to really just say what he wanted to say. And admittedly, both sides of the aisle did this. And then he would just say, like, isn't that right, Mr. Kent? You know, and the guy would be like, I don't know, you know. And there were a bunch of odd questions, you know, like, how do you think this person felt on this day? He's, I don't know how the fuck guy feels. You know, I'm here to present evidence. It's not admissible in a court. You can't go, how did the criminal feel after he committed murder? Did he feel good? Did he regret it, you know, to try and figure out whether or not it was premeditated or not? You can't take testimony like that for the same reason you can't take hearsay. Because, as Judge Judy would say, you can't get into somebody else's brain. And I don't know if it was lack of experience from some of the people that were asking the questions. Certainly, you could tell who the former attorneys were that were members of Congress by the way that they directed their lines of questioning. Conversely, you could also tell the people that have an IQ of a can of Pringles by their lines of questioning or lack thereof. It was something really to behold, but this dude, Joaquin Castro, was the worst. Every question he was asking, these leading questions, and he wasn't getting anywhere. And I tell you what, I got to give the witnesses a lot of credit because they didn't play into that bullshit. They didn't play into that nonsense. They said, we're here to talk about the facts. We're here to talk about what we heard and what we said, and that's that. And a big portion of this proceeding stemmed on hearsay, but not just hearsay, like quadruple hearsay. This guy heard from this guy, heard from this guy, heard from this guy who saw it in a text, who did this. It's like, jeez. I mean, is this really the string you guys want to pull on? And the lack of direct evidence is what makes this whole thing really look ugly. And again, not a partisan statement, okay? My mother is a diehard Democrat. She said of Trump last weekend, he does not have one redeeming quality. That's what she said. She hates him. She just doesn't like Donald Trump. And that's fine. But even she thinks the impeachment hearings are nonsense. And she hates Hillary Clinton. Just to throw that in there. You know why? Because she has a brain. And she uses common sense. Okay? Anybody can see that these hearings are doing a lot more harm than good. And as a Republican, if you support the president and you want him to be reelected, I mean, this is like the best possible thing that could happen. Because you had such a big miss with the Russiagate thing. I mean, a big one. I mean, that really looked bad. That really looked bad when he came out and said there was no collusion. And what looked worse after that were all the news networks and all the people trying to cling to these breadcrumbs that were in the report. Now they want to impeach a sitting president. They want to impeach him, the president, the democratically elected president of the United States. Over what? Over what? A guy that heard a guy who heard a guy who heard a guy who said a thing. There was no quid pro quo. And even if there was, there's no evidence. There's no evidence. You need evidence. There's just nothing. There's nothing that's come up. They, you know, Ukraine didn't even know the aid had been withdrawn. None of the witnesses had talked to Trump. And we got a whistleblower that was a guest of Joe Biden's at a lunch that was hosted in 2016 to honor the Prime Minister of Italy. Joe Biden, you know, the one whose son was making like fucking more money you'll ever have in your whole life in 1 month working for a Ukrainian gas company. This is the other thing that makes this thing absolutely insane. Joe Biden's son, with no background in oil and gas, goes to work in a country where he doesn't speak the language at an oil and gas company to, you know, sit in an office and sharpen pencils for 8 hours a day. I don't know what the fuck he was doing. Yeah, we're going to pay him $87,000 or $50,000 a month. No problem there. Nobody seems to care. Nobody wants to investigate. There we have evidence. That's real evidence. That's money changing hands. Why aren't we investigating that? I don't know. Why would the Democrats be so outraged about this non-existent, at least certainly non-provable quid pro quo, and not give a shit, not give a fuck? They don't give a flying fuck about Hunter Biden. The Republicans wanted to call Hunter Biden as a witness, and they wanted to call the whistleblower as a witness. Adam Schiff was like, well, we can't have that. Those are the, can't do that, sorry, those are the two most relevant people involved here. We don't want them testifying. Fucking joke with the sparklers in the hat. All right, Schiff. Fucking unbelievable. California Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, that's all you need to know. Thank you very much. Gavin Newsom, wondering, is going to start an investigation as to why gas prices are so high in his state, like 3 weeks after he implemented a state gas tax. Might want to try looking in the old mirror there, Gavin. Pretty good place to get started if you actually want to investigate this. You can't make this shit up, folks. You really can't. We got Trump at the Economic Forum yesterday. Decides to open up his speech with a... By the way, he's sitting in front of a room full of probably the richest fucks in Manhattan. All right? You don't belong to the New York Economic Forum Club or any club in New York, trust me, without paying $35,000 a month or something like that. So these people are obviously well off. He gets up on the podium and says, I know many people are not Wall Street people. You guys are probably not investors. It's like, think you got a bad read on the room there, Don. You may want to adjust some of your material for the rest of the speech, if that's who you think you're presenting to. He gets up there and immediately starts dissing Jerome Powell about interest rates. Meanwhile, I say this all the time, I hate to remind you, but Trump ran on the policy that everything was in a big fat bubble. Now the policy seems to be, we must protect the bubble at all costs. We love the bubble. We need the bubble. We can't live without the bubble. Please don't take our bubble away. That is what the policy seems to be right now. Because he's calling for negative interest rates. At some point, he tried to make some allegorical explanation about how negative interest rates work and got it wrong. He said the opposite of what he meant to say. He meant to say, they'll pay you to take on debt. And he said, you know, you'll pay them to take on debt. It's like, yes, that's how debt is supposed to work. Meanwhile, things have gotten so fucked financially, we don't even know which way is up. This is like an actual thing, too. We are now talking about really the inverse of what macroeconomic policy should be, the inverse of traditional economic laws, right? It's like Pac-Man has gone out one side of the screen and we are now coming back in the other side of the screen, the upside down in Stranger Things, if you will. And it's confusing the fuck out of people, especially politicians, because they didn't really understand economics to begin with. So now we're expecting them to understand bizarro economics, and they can't do that because they couldn't understand regular economics. I mean, it's unprecedented the path that we're going down. And what happens when we start to embrace this new, you know, reality distortion field here, where traditional economics, and I'm not even talking about going back to the roots of Austrian economics. I'll even concede that. How about just traditional bullshit economics? How about the traditional bullshit Keynesian central banking economics? We have gone several standard deviations away from that now. I mean, that was bullshit when we started it. It became more bullshit as the decades rolled on and we needed to, you know, quote unquote, continue to fix things. Now, the bullshit is off the charts. We are redlined with bullshit. I never thought the voice of reason would be to beg for a return to Keynesian theory, normal Keynesian theory. But what happens when things get this distorted? You want to know? WeWork today posted a $1.25 billion loss for the year, Chris, since the inception of the company, Chris, for the last decade. How about for the quarter? How about for the quarter? A quarter is 3 months in the financial world, folks. 90 days. It took these geniuses 90 days to take $1.25 billion, as Trump always says. That's billion with a B, not million. There's a million's a lot, but I'm talking about a billion. $1.25 billion, ladies and gentlemen. And do anything from flush it down the toilet, hit it with a blowtorch, anything you need to do to make that money physically disappear. That's what this company did. That's their quote-unquote earnings report. That's not a fucking business plan, fuckfaces. You're not earning anything. They shouldn't even call it earnings. Shouldn't even be calling earnings report. For companies that burn that type of money, they should just call it the quarterly death watch. Here's your WeWork quarterly death watch. How's things looking, Bill? You know, on the CNBC desk. How are things looking for the third quarter WeWork death watch? Well, it's looking great, Wilford Frost. They successfully took $1.25 billion and fucking shot it into outer space. So, you know, I'd say Death Watch is coming right along. Death is imminent. Things are looking good. See, now there's something you can report and you can be upbeat about it because the whole point is to watch the company shrivel away and die to begin with. But you can't call it earnings. They're not earning anything. WeWork released their quarter three earnings report. They reported a slight loss of $1.25 billion for the quarter. That loss narrowed from $1.3 billion last year. So things are moving in the right direction. Fucking no, they're not. No, they're not. Jesus. You understand that if I go outside tomorrow and I drive down my lovely street here and the kids that live two streets down from me are selling lemonade, okay, and they buy the supplies to make lemonade for $20 and they sell 10 cups of lemonade for $2.50 each and they make $25 and net of expenses they make $5, that business run by a bunch of fourth graders is a bigger success than WeWork run by who else? Fucking Adam Neumann, genius of genius, visionary of visionaries, walks away with almost $1 billion, this guy, the company burning $1.2 billion a quarter, folks. That would put them on pace, just fucking wait for it, ladies and gentlemen, to burn $5 billion a year. Isn't this a wonderful business? We take $5 billion a year, every year, and we light it on fire. And that's my business. So how much can I put you down for in terms of your investment, sir? Would you like to, are you interested in our new preferred shares? It's, you know, we light them on fire with a different type of blowtorch. It's a little bit nicer than the other one. How much WeWork can I put you down for, Masayoshi-san? I know you own 30% of the company. How would you like to double your stake at this opportunistic time? Things have never been better. Wrong. Things have never been worse. But the problem is, I don't know what shit Masayoshi-san. I mean, either the guy is on drugs, or there's something that I'm missing, or this, again, reality distortion field of the financial world has just gotten to him. Because for him to justify in his brain to go back in and pour another $8 billion into this company, what is it? It's four quarters worth of fucking cash burn at this rate. What's he going to do? I'm sorry, it's 2 years. It's eight quarters. What's he going to do? Honestly, what's he going to do in 8 years when they're out of money? I mean, in eight quarters. Who the fuck cares? 8 years, eight quarters, 8 weeks, 8 days. I know I'm fucking my shit up. The point is, they're going through a lot of cash very quickly. Then what happens? You've staved off bankruptcy here for 2 years. Congratulations. And John Ledger from T-Mobile's going to be the guy to turn it around? I know I give John Ledger a lot of shit, okay? John Ledger actually did a very good job as T-Mobile's CEO. But fuck, I don't know what that guy is going to pull out of his magenta chef's hat that he's always wearing for some reason. You know, I'd really follow this guy closely, but every time I see him, he's wearing a chef's hat. He's doing some goofy shit. Doesn't look like... Apparently, he did a very good job as T-Mobile CEO. I was reading his accomplishments the other day. Every time I see a picture of him, he's doing something ridiculous. Regardless, what is this guy? He's like... he's like Carrot Top. You know, he wheels around a fucking trunk full of props that he's got to use. What does he have in that trunk that's going to save WeWork? That's what I want to know. Maybe Masayoshi-san's been breathing in the WeWork formaldehyde a little bit. Maybe he's been using the old phone booths over at WeWork. That might explain the $8 billion investment. Regardless, ladies and gentlemen, we think losing $1.25 billion per quarter is the norm. We think a company like Tesla that has consistently posted losses in the millions or hundreds of millions every single year is the norm. And it's not. Successful businesses generate cash. They turn a profit. And then they take that cash, they distribute some of it to their shareholders, they retain some of it, they use it to invest in themselves. There's all kinds of things that you can do when you're generating cash, folks. It's a wonderful thing. You don't have to go to the equity markets and beg like a fucking crackhead for your next fix. But we're gone, folks. We're off the economic charts. And then people are like, why do you own gold? It's like, are you kidding? People are praising Adam Neumann's business acumen for coming up with a company that burns $1 billion a quarter. I can do that. I can burn $1 billion a quarter. I mean, that's such a huge amount of money, I don't even think I could do it. It's like an anti-accomplishment. We never knew somebody could go through this much money so quickly. What are you doing? Well, I'm buying every piece of property. I'm overpaying for everything, every piece of property that's ever been built on the planet for the last 1,000 years. And I'm turning it into Regis rental offices. I'm charging everybody very little, and I'm paying a lot, and my goal is to just make the Earth one giant black hole vortex that I can put cash into and never see again. Congratulations. Hey, Adam Newman, ladies and gentlemen, give him the fucking Lifetime Achievement Award. Oh, sir, take this $180 million bonus. Masayoshi-san is very impressed with you. You do a good job. You take money, make disappear. Bye-bye. I don't know. You know, everything's fucked. It really is. I got Joy Behar on The View. Wants to go toe-to-toe with Tulsi Gabbard. Good luck with that, ladies and gentlemen. Joy Behar wants to go toe-to-toe with Tulsi Gabbard. Invites Tulsi on the show and then thinks she's going to have some, like, gotcha moment with her. Joy Behar is intellectually on fucking planet Pluto. And Tulsi Gabbard probably just got done doing 200 push-ups, sit-ups, and squats before going onto the set. Two tours of duty in Iraq. Enlisted in the National Guard after 9/11. 16 years in the service. General badass. And Joy Behar thinks she's going to intimidate her and stand her down on The View. Good fucking luck, ladies and gentlemen. And Whoopi, by the way, you're not doing it either. Between the two of them, I've never heard so much irrelevant information and complete lack of understanding of the facts as I did during that line of questioning. Also was great when Don Jr. was on to promote his book. He said to Joy, "You wore blackface." And she said, "No, I didn't." And then, of course, somebody just posts on the internet this 2014 episode where Joy Behar is like, "Oh, I dressed up as an African woman for Halloween. Don't I look good?" And there's this picture of her with, like, tanning solution on or whatever, you know, darkening her skin. "I was a beautiful African woman. I never wore blackface." You fucking liar. I'm over it, folks. I really am. I'm over everything. I had to get some of that shit off my chest. I got 20,000 more things here in my notes that I want to write down, but I don't have it in me to talk about this shit anymore. I really don't. Behar goes to Tulsi, "Oh, how do you know that she was talking about you when she said one female was a Russian asset?" Tulsi Gabbard's like, her staffer confirmed it the next day. Next fucking question, please. Oh, it's just great. It's really wonderful, you know? You got Elizabeth Warren out today. She hates billionaires. Leon Cooperman, I saw, responded to her... What's her advertisement where that he's featured in. Elizabeth Warren put out an ad today, basically vilifying billionaires, you know? "It's time for you to pay your fair share." Leon Cooperman's given away like billions of dollars or something ridiculous in philanthropic and charitable donations. But Elizabeth Warren has a problem with him, right? He's not doing enough. We need a wealth tax. When are the Democrats going to learn that you can't tax your way out of all these problems? You can't. You just can't. You know, you can only tax everybody up to 100%. I mean, I know there's the Laffer curve or whatever. You get to a point where the incentive to work goes away. But just from an absolute standpoint, you can only tax people to 100%. Right, the upper class now gets taxed 60% or whatever it is if you combine state, local, municipal, and federal taxes and all the other bullshit taxes. I mean, at some point, you do start to remove the incentive, but the point is you can only tax to 100%. So when the Democrats ramp up taxes all the way on everybody and they're just taking all the money, then what's the next idea? It's like interest rates, you know? They can only go low for so long until we have a problem with the currency and then we have to raise them. Taxation is the same thing. You can only tax so much till we start to have problems. Lest we forget, taxation is not going to solve the problem. Taxation is saying that the government is going to be able to reallocate people's capital better than people will be able to do it themselves. And in the case of billionaires, it's just redistribution of wealth. Now, granted, I think if people want to look at the inequality gap, they need to look at monetary policy first. I mean, that's the one thing that's widening the inequality gap more than anything else. But the idea of just vilifying billionaires when many billionaires have done, you know, extraordinarily well and have been very charitable. I mean, think of the things that Bill Gates has done. and his foundation. You can't just vilify billionaires for no reason. You can't just hate people because they've been successful. Some people, so this is like when Joy Behar was interviewing Howard Schultz back when he was deciding to run for president. And she just couldn't believe this rich guy was running for president. How dare him? You know, now meanwhile, Michael Bloomberg's running for president, okay? He's worth many billions of dollars, folks. I'm worth billions of dollars. Here's a newsflash to Warren, okay? Which, by the way, she's worth fucking $10, $20 million herself. You can always turn around and just cut a check. Know what I mean? Cut a check. You know? Having $20 million's too much. $30 million, $50 million, whatever. Whatever's too much, turn around. Mike Bloomberg, you want to raise taxes? Turn around, give away half your fucking net worth. Give it to the government and say, hey, reallocate my capital. Any day, you go to irs.gov, you can make a tax payment. It's a very simple thing to do. You can do it at any point. So I would encourage her to do that. Or could it be that maybe you just want to hold on to your money? Because fuck, if that's the case, now you know how everybody else in the fucking nation feels. You can't just tax, 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 tax. It's such a stupid, simple-minded way of thinking about things. It's like thinking about modern monetary theory. It's a one-dimensional idea to a complex problem that requires no intelligence to come up with. It's the easy way out, and it is cloaked in moral hazard, not unlike taxing your way to prosperity that Ms. Warren thinks is the right answer. So, should be interesting. Cooperman's going to do an interview tomorrow on CNBC. Probably over by the time you listen to this podcast, to be honest with you. You probably won't get to it till tomorrow, but maybe I'll weigh in with some commentary on that as well. But I just had to come on tonight and just talk about how everything is horrible. So with that being said, have a great night. Fucking smile. And I'll see you on Twitter tomorrow, fools. Peace.